Who then is this whom even the wind and the sea obey? What we have here in the statement of this gospel, as well as in the readings, is what I would refer to theologically as an affirmation of the incarnation. Now, what do I mean by that? At the basis and the heart of our faith is that Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, now is here on earth, enfleshed, incarnate. We pray that when we do the creed, we bow our heads and we say, of course, and behold, he became flesh through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So obviously what we have here is we have a shifting of the view. We also have a relationship, a spiritual relationship that I believe is being placed before us by the gospel members in terms of our own development. I ask you to think about your own experiences with little children. You know, when little children are being taken out by either grandpa or father, and since it's Father's Day, and congratulations to all the fathers, we'll use the example of the fathers. Mothers are much stricter, so they're real tougher on. But if they're taken out by dad or by grandpa, and all of a sudden, the little child, who might be about 2 or 3, and we've all seen that, they're told, either in a store or in a drive-in or something, they're told, don't do that. The little child, right to their father, will go, no! No! I want that. And of course, the father will try to be... When you look at it, here is this little 2 or 3-year-old confronting someone who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, their power, their strength alone could eliminate anything. First of all, what gives that little tyke the right to even kind of say that? He trusts and is confident that that person loves him so much they're not going to do anything to harm them, even if they fight against him. There's also kind of the sense of kind of trying to get what they want. All of us. Now, I want you to think about that in terms of our own spiritual relationship with God. Here's Job in that first reading, who's kind of reminded about the power of God that he's confronted. Here's Job, who is suffering, and suffering, you know, as a pretty much as an innocent, but is suffering in the world, and is holding his ire and his kind of displeasure against God. But what does God say to him? God reminds him, hey, Job, were you there? He doesn't come in and just pound him. He just reminds, were you there at the very beginning when I created this universe? Were you there when I fashioned and formed the world? Were you there when the stars were put up in the sky? Were you there? All of a sudden what's reminded is who he's talking to. Who he's talking to. You know, kind of gives us kind of a sense. Sometimes we become so wrapped up in ourselves that we forget who we're relating to. Even in our own personal prayer and spiritual life, which I'm drawing the analogy, we become wrapped up in ourselves and we forget who it is that we're placing our needs before. I say this because when we take a look at what's being presented in the gospel, what's being presented in the gospel is this God of all creation, whom if you take a look and go back even to the ancients, the most individuals who were far from any kind of what we would consider civilized response, they came to an understanding by God merely by looking up into the sky, by fashioning and seeing the waters, by watching how the seasons changed. And many, you will hear in native stories, will look up into the sky and see the vastness and drop to their knees because they realize how insignificant they are in relationship to the vastness of God's universe. Not an uncommon experience for basically the ancients. But now what do we have here? We have in Mark's gospel a statement that this God is now founded and his power is placed in this person of Jesus Christ. So we have the disciples, obviously, who were worried about themselves. The storm's coming up. The raging wind is upon us. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? And all of a sudden, Jesus rebukes the wind. And the sea obeys him. Who is it that the wind and the sea obeys? Now, who is it that manifests all of that? Jesus. Jesus. Philip, don't you know, Jesus says, that it is only the Son who has seen the Father? And you know the Father through the Son, and to all he wishes to reveal him. This is the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the incarnation. It is our God who has become one with us. When we come to understand that, we ourselves in our own personal lives, we drop to our knees, realizing that we're confronted by the divine and the tremendous need for forgiveness in our lives. One great story that probably should be told today, and some I'm sure have heard it, but there was an individual who was a slave trader, a peddler of flesh, who occupied a position of captain on the boat, and he was taking his cargo of human cargo across the ocean when confronted literally by a storm. Because being confronted by the storm, he drops to his knees, and like many of us, all of a sudden there is a call for change in our lives because it's out of control, and he drops to his knees and he pledges to God that he would reform his life. The sea calms. He's able to make it to shore, submits his resignation as a captain of a slave ship, goes back to England, studies for the ministry, and then writes his reflection of the whole event in a hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. You know, when confronted by that, we have an aspect of transforming our lives. Now, that doesn't always happen. You know, and I can tell you, go back to 9/11. When 9/11 happened and it was out of our control and we realized that there was a need to reach out, for 2 weeks, churches all across the nation had an uptake. But when it returned to normal, people went back to their old routine. Maybe sometimes it's only when we are confronted by the extraordinary that suddenly we do change, that we do convert, that we take a look at the need to invite God deeper and deeper into our lives, that we take a look at reaching out to God. Sometimes it's only when we're stripped of everything do we come to understand the power of God in our personal lives. I take a look at those who suffer from addiction, and I take a look especially at those who undergo alcoholic treatment and then later go to the wonderful groups and then take those 12 steps. They come to understand, as part of it, it is the power of God in their lives that can only transform and change. Well, that's not true for just the alcoholic. That's true for all of us. We can't come complacent and sit down and say, God, I have all these wonderful things. I deserve it. Only when we come to an understanding of its gift that we really grow in maturity. that we're able to appreciate it. I started this off by talking about that child. Think about the development of the child. You get into those rebellious teen years, right? And you can almost see that as part of the spiritual journey, you know. You know, rejection of parents and authority. Sometimes, you know, the pain that comes into parents and grandparents when their children kind of reject church and reject faith. Painful. Painful. I've sat in confession with individuals who just don't know why suddenly have done everything. I've sent them to Catholic schools. You know, I've been there. I've offered them various religious articles. I talk to them, and you know what? They just have this sense of rejection of something that they hold so valuable, that faith, so great and so valuable. And then my counsel, I oftentimes be patient. Just do what you need to do to assure them of your faith, to assure them that God is there for them and they should reach out to God. You know, you have that sense, you know, of that need. They go through that period of time. But you know, we really come to an understanding of maturity when we take a look and step back and realize how much has been given to us. And to take a look at how it comes about outside of our own device. And how fortunate and blessed we are to have what we are. Now, I love the story of a little boy who saw his dad's boss at a dinner that he was invited to. And the little boy was there and staring at the boss. He's staring at the dad's boss. He's staring at the dad's boss. And he says, little boy, he says, what are you looking at? He says, you know, my dad says you're a self-made man. He looked at him, he said, yes, I am. He said, why did you make yourself that way? Anybody who claims to be a self-made man does not understand the great gift of God into one's life. And what I'm saying to you this morning is we have to recognize who he is that we relate to. And through whom we relate through Jesus. Think of it. It's not us relating to the all-powerful, almighty God, but to someone who loves us and has joined us in this life. That's why I said at the very beginning, this is an affirmation of the incarnation. You have a relationship with Jesus. What kind of power is that when you recognize it? When the child goes through life and goes through those various stages, it is then when we really become an adult that we realize how much has been done for us by our parents, by our family. Even our idiosyncrasies. I can't tell you how many times individuals that I've known literally in high school and in grammar school, and now they're parents themselves, and they have said, oh God, Father Jerry, I'm my mother and my father. I hear it in my voice. I hear it when I kind of reach out. And then I say to them, then close your eyes, bow your head, and thank God. Because suddenly you're opening yourselves up to that development, that sense of God's movement in your lives. In your lives. We get down on our knees now because of not the power necessarily of God's creation, although that can easily bring us to our knees. But think of the power of the God who says, I love you and I'm with you always. The God whom even the wind and the sea obey. And who dies on a cross, and the same power, if you accept, and I do easily, that God created the entire universe, and the mystery of that is so phenomenal that this God chooses to become one with us through Jesus. His power also extends to the ability to take bread and wine and turn it into his body and his blood and allow us intimately to join with him. Why? So that we can take him into the world. So whomever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.